Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about having big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazian. It's just the two of us today. We're your lonely onlys. And you know what? We haven't really done this, but I will say, you know, we haven't really given you guys a taste of what might be coming in the future. Ooh. As far as potential future podcast hosts, guests, et cetera, et cetera. I will say that we are working on something. It's very exciting. You guys are going to be, I mean, more than excited about it. You're going to be seriously thrilled at what we come up with. I'm not going to share anything now, but just know that we are working. We're working on it, and I'm excited to share with you guys sometime in the future.
Yeah, just as Via went on to follow her yeses in her life and follow those, we have stayed. We are committed. Our one of our big yeses is this podcast and ensuring that we continue to provide amazing content, are vulnerable, are focusing on your empire, helping you build your empire, and also helping you with your big life. And we have some exciting things coming up that will help you do that. And guests and co-hosts and all that goes with it. So we can't wait to share it with you guys.
All the things. Well, and today we're going to be talking about, I thought this would be kind of fun. So I was actually reflecting earlier this week. I got the opportunity to sit down with a babysitter who was also like a personal assistant of mine about 10 years ago. Remarkable, remarkable woman. She's 31 years old now. She was 21 when she worked with me. And I was just reflecting on the amount of incredible leverage that I've had over the years. And so I thought we would just take, Sarah and I, we would just talk a little bit about our leverage journeys and how we're able to do it all. You know, we get asked that question a lot. I don't know if you do, Sarah. I'm sure you do.
Yes. But
the answer is we really don't do it all. We can't do it all. You have to lean into the things that you're good at, and you have to leverage out the rest. And that's easier said than done. It's not easy. It's not easy to do that. Our tendency is to want to do it all, have it all, know it all, and especially do it all. Those of you that are listening, raise your hand if you're a do-it-all person. There's actually our friend Christy Hill. Her Instagram is Christy Does It All.
Oh my goodness.
Which I'm always like, Christy, if you're listening, I'm like, Christy, you got to change that girl. Today we're going to talk about help. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of times, you know, we talk about help hiring, leverage at work. And many times that's what the focus is on. But I think when you're a female empire builder in particular, you have to look at different leverage than many times male empire builders that might have like a stay-at-home wife at home, or have that they don't worry about the home front. You know, a lot of times us as wives, as mothers, we are really the leaders of the home many times. And so with that means that we have to focus on help at home, not just in our work, not just in your teams, but focusing on help at home. So a big part of our teams are how we have help in our home life. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
I love that. Well, and what I love is that you actually started out as leverage for your mom, right?
Yes.
You were the leverage, right? You've come a long way, baby.
Seriously.
You started out because her business was growing, and I'm sure she looked at you and she was like, I've got to channel this energy somewhere.
I got to interview Mo Anderson, and Mo said that she was obsessed with Gary Keller's vision on executing Gary Keller's vision. And I related so much to that because my mom is who had the initial vision of what this could be. And I have been obsessed with making that happen now for almost 2 decades, I guess, almost soon.
Wow, I just got chills.
And so, wow. Yeah.
That's
and
powerful.
So
I was like, heard you say that. That's really powerful.
When Mo said that, my mom is such the entrepreneur. Very visionary, can see things, and her number one strength is activator. So she's activated me to really lead the way in terms of making the vision a reality. And so when Mo said that, it resonated with me so much because I was like, that's how I feel too. And so, yeah. Yep. But how did we do that and have kids at the same time and babies and all the things?
Well, what is your, so first of all, I'd love to just talk a little bit about, Sarah, what was your mindset around getting help at the beginning? Were you okay with it? Did you see the value of it? Or was it something you thought was maybe bad? What was your, what were you thinking?
I think there's certain areas of home life that I still struggle with big time right now, giving up, like right now, paying bills and managing our household finances is a big role that I play, in our household. And that's been something I know that you've recently, leveraged that, got help there. And that's inspiring to me. I struggle in that area. Other areas like cleaning and, landscaping and things like that have been, came easy to me. Like that made sense to me. It's not something I get joy out of, is that. And so that was one of the first things that I got help with was, having a regular cleaner come in, to our house and help us there. And then also I'm in a pretty unique situation with my marriage, I would say, because my husband, is very hands-on, both at home with our kids. Like, I mean, he is remarkable. Amazing, remarkable, yeah. Absolutely remarkable. And so he has taken on a lot of, he has been a lot of my help in terms of leverage. When we first got married, he had a complete career shift. He was going to be a doctor, and came home one day and said, I decided I don't want to be that. You didn't know that?
Didn't know that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So George studied pre-medicine and he was a pre-med major. And the goal when we got married was I was going to sell real estate, continue to sell real estate. And while he went to medical school and that was our plan. And then one day he came home, he worked for six doctors. He was getting experience in the medical field. He worked for six doctors. He came home and he said, I decided I don't want to be them. And I said, well, what do you want to be? He said, I don't know. I'm like, wow, awesome. We were newly married. It was quite the conversation.
You're like, wait, what? I thought I was going to be a doctor's wife.
Seriously.
that's what I signed up for.
Yeah. I was like, I signed for 5 years of work, eight, at the most eight. And then I was going to just be living the trophy wife life. He tricked me. He tricked me. No. And so that was quite the moment, for us as a couple. And that he really took on a lot of responsibility at the time from the household front, because I became the main breadwinner, not by design. It sort of just happened, but I became the main breadwinner. And so he viewed his role as a support role to me. And he's amazing at it, And that sort of has continued, even through the three children. So my main focus with him now, as he's building Empower Home Mortgage, is helping him have this conversation, in terms of giving up some things,
at home.
In terms, at home.
What
about you, Wendy?
Maybe he'll listen to this podcast if we're lucky.
Yes.
If we talked about him a lot. Yeah.
My sexy, hot Nigerian husband.
Oh,
please listen
George.
To us. George, please listen.
So for me, it was a little harder, I would say. When I quit my job, I actually felt like I needed to do more things because I wasn't making any money at home. So I felt like I had to do a lot of, and that's when we really got into the real estate investing stuff. So we did our first flip and we bought some rental properties and I would do the make readies on those. And, you know, I did a lot of the sweat equity. I would paint them. I would do all of that. Wow. I would bring my kids with me just because I thought that's what I thought that I needed to do. And it wasn't really till I became a real estate agent that I really learned like, oh, there's a better way of doing this. Like if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have done it that way. You know, and I'm hoping that my little toddlers, they got some kind of good work ethic from watching their mom, like,
true.
I don't know, clean the trash out of the rental properties. Probably not. But I definitely, that was hard for me because I come from a family where you just kind of do everything, you know, and you don't have a housekeeper. Like that would be something weird. My grandmother, who I was very close to, she was the oldest of, I think, 9 kids when her dad died, and they had to work the farm themselves. So she was on a farm in northern Minnesota with her mom, who was also an incredibly hard worker. And they, you know, you just worked. You just got up and you worked all day, and then you went to bed, you know?
Yeah. I think what's powerful about what you're saying, Wendy, and I want to make sure our listeners hear it, and I am making an assumption here, but did you impose that this is what you should do on your own, or was this something that Jay wanted you to do? Did Jay want you to be doing all of the investment properties and painting, and or was that pressure you put on yourself?
No, I don't think he never said to do it, but at the same time, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, you know. Yeah. We didn't have, like, Jay was a W-2 employee. We didn't have any extra money. Yeah. So this was, you know, we were living on one salary and Jay wasn't, you know, he wasn't making a lot then. Yeah. He just wasn't. Yeah. And so it just, that made sense to me. And it's weird. It's hard because it's like, it's a weird mix of, because the rental properties weren't throwing off like tons of cash anyway. So it wasn't like I could have really leveraged that. It's not really... The great thing about a business is if you know how to do the lead gen and make and get the leads, then it's a much better use of your time to do that than all of the other stuff. But on something like an investment property, while that was growing our net worth, it wasn't really creating tons of cash flow, at least not in Austin, you know, where we could kind of like, where it kind of made sense. So it was a very gradual thing, this idea of leverage. I mean, I think we were under leverage for a long time. And I mean, and at the end of the day, I have a really high capacity for doing stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that's part of it too.
That's your maximizer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you do too. And it's like, I can just get up and I have a lot of energy and I can just go all day and I'm not really the worst for wear for it. I'm not. So not everybody's like that. And, you know, so that was part of it too. And I wasn't working. So I was like, well, something to do all day, you know, not that the Rugrats weren't like a big enough job, but I was able to do it. And some people just would not have been able to do that. So,
So we all started at different places in our leveraged journey. And I think I hope all of our listeners can relate to one of our stories in terms of wherever you have started. But I do think a lot of the pressure that many females in particular put on themselves is feeling like that it's our role to do certain things that that society has sort of put for years on us and that we've never looked at doing it differently. And so I think, you know, one of the most impactful things that ever happened at the Her Best Life signature event, which by the way, is in Nashville in September. So if you don't have your ticket to that, please go to herbestlife.com to get it. But at that event, you know, someone stood up and said, you know, your kids don't care who cooked the meal. They care that you eat it with them. And that was such a powerful statement for that room because so many times we impose things on ourselves. Those that love us, they really just want to be with us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Time equals love. So.
Well, and there's just so much pressure as women, you know, because it really wasn't until the 70s when most women were actually in the workforce. I mean, it's relatively new, you know, that was my mom and even her, you know, when she was she got pregnant, her boss basically told her like, well, you don't have a job anymore. So you might as well just quit now. Mm. And, that's how it was, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was pretty late in the game, you know, just one or two generations ago when this was really common. And so we have this pressure inside of us to be a great mother, a great worker, and then also a great homemaker. Yeah. And it's literally what is causing, what has caused so much burnout and what caused so much mental health distress during COVID, because then all of a sudden you also had, most of the women took on the burden of being a homeschool teacher as well. It's it's literally way too much. And then on top of that, we have guilt. I mean, I read somewhere that stay-at-home moms in the 70s spent less time with their kids than working moms today.
Yep.
So there's a lot of pressure to be a helicopter mom, be really involved in everything. And it's honestly, it's too much. It is literally too much. And nobody can live up to the standard that we create in our own mind for ourselves.
Yep. Yep. I know one of the most powerful questions my therapist asked me recently was, you know, how much time do you want to spend with each of your kids? How much time, quality time do you want to spend with your kids? And I had never been asked that because I've imposed everyone else's desires for my relationship with my children. And I think that's what we do, right? Comparison is the thief of joy, but mothering, wifing, and then also with work, I mean, a lot of us compare, and the reality is not one family is the same. Every family has a different dynamic, and you've got to do what's best for your family and ask yourself, you know, what relationship do you want with your kids? How much time, quality time do you want to make sure that you have? And all of those things is like, we want to empower each of you to be asking yourself those questions. What brings you joy? What with your family situation, what's the best for your family? Forget all the other families. What's the best for your family, but empower you to lean into that. Don't compare yourself to others. Lean into what's best for your family.
Especially on Instagram. I mean, it's so terrible. It's like everybody should just get off Instagram because it's causing so much mental health distress. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, you know, I have a great relationship with both of my parents, but I didn't really spend much time with either of them. You know, like I remember in the summer, they would just kick you out of the house in the morning. I would go play with all my friends until the sun came down and my mom would yell at me to come home. And, you know, I watched a comedian, I watched a comedian the other day and she was talking about how, you know, in the 70s, basically like we didn't even have a water bottle. Like, you know, all these kids need to be like uber hydrated.
True.
These days. And it's like, and it's, I just laughed because I was like, I was like, I just, if we were thirsty, we just drank from the hose. Like we didn't even get inside. Like our mom was like, you're thirsty. You just drink from the hose, you know? And so it's just this idea of like, oh my gosh, you have to have like a weekly date night with your kid. And like each kid, you got to have a weekly date night. Like if that's you, that's awesome. Like if that's not you, that's okay too. Like for us, we basically were like, you know what? We're going to have family dinner. That's really important to us. So we've had family dinner every single night and I have a great relationship with my kids. You know, they love me. They're great kids. And I've never felt the need to do all these special things. And if you do, like, I'm not saying don't, like, that's fine, but you know, just, it's okay. It's really okay.
Like what we're really saying is giving you permission to be you, right? I mean, the best, Olivia, my daughter, who just turned 10, which is crazy, double digits in the Aji household now. But what she taught me at a very young age, at 9 months old, that she just wanted her mom. She just wanted me to be me. Like she didn't want this, like what I thought a mom should be. She wanted her mom. And so you have permission to be you. However God designed you, be you. Right. And so for Wendy and Jay, it's important. Dinner time is important to them. Right. So like, that's what they've made for their family. So you have permission to lean in to what's important to you and forget all the noise, forget all the other noise that goes with it.
And, and I'm sure this was a takeaway for you, Sarah, too. When we saw Ed Milet recently, he's an incredible speaker. He talked about, not living your dreams as a form of child neglect.
Mm, yeah, he did. It was so powerful.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
So, so powerful. So, so powerful. And I think especially women, we need to hear that. You know, I know there's a lot of you that are out there listening who think that you can't, you don't get to have it all. You have to choose between having a career and having a family life. And the reality is you really don't. You get to orchestrate what that looks like in your own mind and then leverage the things that you don't want to do. I mean, you have to make money. You got to make money to do this.
Yep.
Like you can't, yep. You have to have a business or a side hustle or something in order to enjoy this leverage. And you know, you guys can do it. So let's just maybe finish up, Sarah, talk a little bit about what your leverage world kind of looks like right now.
Yeah. So my first and really key sort of team member at home, outside of course, my husband is our nanny. So her name's Vernice, and she has been with us now 7.5 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. And she is our partner in raising our kids. She's our partner in feeding our kids. She started when Caitlin was just born. And so Caitlin's my second, and has handled, so much for us, at home. So she she helped us raise Caitlin to school aged. And then now she, is taking care of Lincoln during the day. And then she picks up the girls from school as well. We got her a minivan pick up the kids. And so she goes and picks up the kids after school, feeds them a snack. She also helps with packing lunches.
Does she live with you guys or no?
She does not. And she will tell you that's why she's been with us for 7.5 years. she creates boundaries. She does a lot for us Monday through Friday, but outside of Monday through Friday, in the evenings, of course, she wants her space, which she needs. We want that for her. So she does not live with us. And so she also does, so she's with the kids from 8 to 6 every day, which is a long day. And then she is, gives us date night every Thursday night. And so she stays late, and makes sure that we have date night. And, she's such a, man, we thought losing Lydia as my executive assistant was a big deal. She got promoted to a different role, but Vernice, that would rock Sarah's world more than anything. And so she's a key member of our household
team. And that's a good tip is if you've got childcare anyway, definitely have them have part of the agreement be for date night. We always did that. We never had anyone who was full-time like that. We had a kind of mix of daycare and then after school care. And that after school care was always Wednesday night date night. That was just part of the package. And so if you guys are, if you're a younger parent, that's really important. If you don't have family, you know, we just didn't have, and even if you do have family in town, you know, you might have family and they may not want to watch your kids every week, you know?
My parents are 10 minutes away, but my parents live a very full life still. And like I didn't want to put the pressure on them to like, you know, they've been through parenting. They don't need to also be responsible for parenting my children as well. And so, they're very involved in their life, but I've tried to build it to where I don't have to rely on them. And so Vernice is a big part. Then as Olivia has grown and as Caitlin has grown, they go to a private Christian school that is follows Christian classical education, which is hard. It's strict. They know Latin and they know the history timeline in a song, like the entire history of the world in a song. I mean, it's a very high pressure. I find it to be a lot of pressure school, which is important to my husband, George. He was brought up in a where education was very strong. And with that comes a lot of homework. And so we have been in the thick of homework, with the girls. And so we hired a, tutor, a part-time teacher that helps. She comes in after school and focuses on homework with the girls. We tried to share that responsibility in the beginning. Oh my goodness. I do not have the patience for homework. No, that has changed my life. That part is not having to focus on that and be able to be with the kids and not be screaming at them about why aren't you able to read? So,
as kids get older, that's, you know, Gus is the same way. Like he's had a tutor for math now for several years. It's actually a former real estate client of mine which is a great win-win. And, they love it. He's, you know, Mr. Jolly is his name. Shout out to Mr. That's Jolly. Awesome. You know, he's a math tutor. He's patient. He's like all the things. Like, I'm not a math tutor. I mean, no, that's just not going to be good. Yeah. So I think tutoring is huge. You got to be a certain kind of person. Be a good tutor.
Those are two big team members for our household that help me do what I do best. What about you, Wendy?
Well, I started with all of the kids stuff. And of course, my kids now are 17 and 18, which is kind of crazy. But you know, I got some leverage with the college admissions process. So I joined a Facebook group, which cost me, you know, $89 a month. And there's kind of a instructor in there who helps you through the college process.
Smart.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been great. That was great leverage for me. Just learning a better way to do something that was pretty affordable as opposed to like reading all the books. And I don't know, you can spend a lot of time on that. And then now we've got somebody, I guess it was probably almost a year and a half ago, Jay and I had a retreat and we really thought like, what are the things that I'm doing that I do, but I don't really love to do. And so for me, it was really compiling all the stuff for our taxes. We have multiple businesses. We've got tons of rental properties. And so just the process of compiling the stuff to give to our accountant was onerous. All the 1098s, just all the things. It's just a lot. And so I thought, God, if I could have somebody help me with that, if I could have somebody help me with the bills, if I could have somebody handle some of the financial stuff. So we ended up hiring somebody who was already in our world, who was remarkable with finances, remarkable with numbers. And she's really helped us do some really, really big financial things that have ended up, she's ended up paying her for herself several times over already. So she orchestrated a cost segregation study. I mean, wish I could do. Like I have the ability to, you know, and she's actually hiring the person who's doing it. And yet the coordination of all of that is a lot of work.
Huge.
We did an ERC. We were looking at some energy credits. Like all of these things that you hear about, like, oh gosh, I wish I could do that. Or you write it down and then you're like, ugh, I just don't have the bandwidth to like actually pull it off. So that's more of where our world is, where we're trying to leverage some of our wealth and grow it a little bit. And so we're actually starting a deal meeting where she and I are analyzing deals together.
Nice.
Just so I can and look at some of the deal flow and she can, you know, I get to kind of like leverage her really good numbers and financial brain.
Yes.
As like a subsidiary to my brain. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. So
more of like a family office amazing. Manager almost.
Yeah, like a family.
Anything to do with family office.
We don't really have enough wealth to call it a family office, but she helps with a lot of that stuff. And having somebody in our world it's been incredible. Yeah, it's been remarkable.
I love that. Yeah. And then I think both of us leverage like cleaning regularly, landscaping. Mm-hmm. I know we both have a pool, and so I leverage that out as well. And so a lot of the things that would take up time for me or for George, we looked and say, okay, who would be better at it? And then also like, if we don't get joy out of it, then why are we doing it? And so it's important to start with what's on your joy list. What brings you joy? If there are things on it, I know, Wendy, you love to cook, and that's something that brings you joy. And so, of course, you want to keep the things that are bringing you joy, and you want to make sure that you're not doing lower dollar per hour activities where you could be focusing on what you're built to do best. So.
Yeah. Well, and even when I was, you know, when I was the main listing agent for our team, and you know how busy that is when you're going on a lot of appointments, you're missing dinner, things like that. I actually did leverage out, you know, we got a meal service during that time. So it was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bring McDonald's home to my family. I mean, I probably did bring it plenty of times, or P. Terry's, which is our version of Austin McDonald's. It's okay to do that too. It's okay to make things be a season, you know, while you're ramping up. But yeah, so wise. So just really the question you want to ask yourself, guys, is who's your who?
Yeah.
And it can't be you. Who's your who? And it can't be you. And when you're feeling that kind of overwhelm, you're feeling that like sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you've got the money to afford it, right? Sometimes you might have to cut your expenses or even cut your lifestyle. Sometimes you have to cut your lifestyle to get more time back. And for me, the ultimate measure of wealth is how much time can I buy back? You guys know I'm trying to become a time billionaire. And so if you can afford it, then think about who is your who, you know, and it can't be you.
Yep. And don't just listen to on the work side. And so hear us today, and you have permission today to look at your home life, your family life, and say, okay, what are some things that I need a who in my family life? And we want to give you that permission today to do that. We would love to hear from you. So if you take some action from today's episode, you hire your first cleaning service, if you get out there and get someone to help with homework or whatever in terms of you are implementing or executing on, please send us a message. We love to hear from our listeners, and our heart is in impacting your life and helping you not just have a big business, but an even bigger life. So we want to hear how we do that. That keeps us going.
Thank you
guys so much for joining us today, and continue to get out there, build a big business and an even bigger life. Bye.
Bye guys.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.